the hammer falling from its hand. The last mutie stood for a moment, unable to force the reality through its brain that it now fought alone against the one-eyed murderous human. The hesitation gave Ryan the opportunity to step in at the back of the crippled Scaly and open its throat in a single deep slash.
You and me, you son of a bitch.
Ryan came in at the fourth Scaly in a crabbed, shuffling walk, feinting with the panga at groin and then the throat. The mutie lost its nerve and turned away from him. But its movement was too slow. The panga had a rough point, and Ryan thrust with it, feeling it find a path between the ribs and the back. The Scaly threw its head back so that its slit eyes stared into the sun. Ryan slid the panga out again, watching the mutie take a handful of stumbling paces, and then crash face first onto the ground. There was no time for hesitation. Ryan had laid all four of his attackers in the warm sand, but there had been eight others. A quick look told Ryan that they divided equally, with four going for Jack and the remaining four rushing Christy. The woman's blaster had put down three, two obviously chilled and one gutshot and struggling to get up. Almost without thinking, Ryan put a shot through its angular, gator-like skull. Christy had just kicked her last opponent smack in the loincloth, and it had fallen to its knees in front of her, jaw gaping, spittle and bile dribbling from its pendulous lip. She put a bullet between its eyes and turned to see how Jack was coping. The white-haired youth's huge magnum had blown away three out of the four Scalies. One lay on the ground, virtually headless, half its left arm also missing. The second had been shot through the chest, not normally a terminal wound for a mutie, but the .357 round had angled sideways and exited beneath the right arm, taking half the ribs and lungs with it, blasting the heart to ruptured rags of torn tissue. The third one had been shot in the back of the head, removing anything that resembled a face and spreading it in shards of crimsoned bone over a 20-yard radius. The fourth Scaly was standing a few paces in front of the albino teenager, making threatening gestures with an old hiltless hunting knife bound to a length of wood to make a crude spear. Jack was holding his blaster in both hands, struggling with it.
Problem?
Fuck is jammed!
I'll take him out. Move out of the way, Jack.
But it eventually penetrated through the clouded brain of the mutie that this wasn't a good place to hang around, that 11 of his comrades wouldn't be eating around their fire that night, and that his own chances were slim. He spun on his heel and began to run with a clumsy speed toward the nearest wall of red rock. Christy leveled her pistol, but Jack waved her away.
Man!
Dropping the useless blaster in the dirt, Jack plucked out one of his throwing knives. He gripped it by the taped hilt and snapped it toward the fleeing mutie. Ryan watched the spinning steel, the light dancing off it like a tossed diamond. But the ground dipped suddenly, and the running Scaly stumbled and nearly fell. The knife hummed past his shoulder, landing harmlessly among some jagged boulders ahead of him.
Goddamn motherfucking son, bitch!
The teen's hand snaked down for one of his other knives, but Ryan was there first. The mutie was close to cover. It was never a good idea to let an enemy escape if he could help it. The Scaly went over in a tangle of arms and legs, raising his own small cloud of dust. A cloud of dust that quickly evaporated, leaving nothing.
12 up and 12 down.
Would have chilled with the second knife.
Jack ran lightly toward the rocks to retrieve his blade, examining it carefully for any scratches or damage. Ryan started reloading his blaster. Christy busied herself looking at the corpses.
Probably, Jack. But if you'd been unlucky, there wouldn't have been a chance for any of us.
Funny they were all Scalies.
Funny. Didn't hear a lot of laughing.
Peculiar, if you prefer that, you pedantic son of a bitch, Ryan.
Hey, take it easy, babe.
The ground opens and up jump a dozen Scalies. It was a close call.
Sure, I know that. Sorry. But why is it peculiar? The Scalies?
Major Ward said Stickies as well. No sign of them around here.
Fucking good. Hate Stickies more than anything.
I know what you mean, Jack.
Ryan looked toward the line of waiting wags up on the ridge, a half mile off. He knew that JB and the others would have heard the fusillade of shots and would be waiting anxiously for any news. He glanced at his wrist chron. Another few minutes and he knew that the armorer would have been leading a charge after them. Maybe a rescue charge. Maybe for revenge.
Ho ho ho!
Ward slapped Ryan on the shoulder. His face cracked into a huge smile.
Jehoshaphat! You folks went out and wiped out around a dozen of those limbs of Satan. I can't scarcely believe it, son. And one of you a woman, too.
Christy dropped him a sarcastic curtsy.
Ha ha!
Elder Vare was less impressed.
The Almighty did choose to help you Outlanders, after all. It's obvious you'd all have been destroyed by the ungodly creatures from the blasphemous pit of nuke-warped entities if it hadn't been for divine aid. No credit to you for that.
Vare turned away, his flock of preachers dutifully following at his heels, like a crowd of sour-faced buzzards. Only Sharon Vare seemed pleased, and she blew Jack a kiss as she trooped after her father.
How about the water?
What, Mildred?
Well, while we've been waiting for these heroes to get back, the sun's been sliding down. How about if Doc and I rode ahead on a couple of your horses and wrecked the water hole?
Ryan looked at JB, raising a questioning eyebrow.
What do you think? Should be safe. Still an hour or more to dusk.
Guess so, Ryan.
What about the Stickies? Major Ward said they'd seen corpses of Stickies as well as Scalies, didn't he?
Yeah. Maybe
you... I realize that there are good reasons that you don't want the good lady and me to entertain a venture with some degree of hazard to it, Ryan.
What reasons?
Mildred ticked them off on her fingers.
In my case, it's sexism and racism. And in the case of the old fart there, it's plain ageism. That answer your question, Ryan?
All right. Make sure your blasters are clean and loaded. And keep your eyes peeled. We got ambushed by those bastards.
That's funny. I thought this place was somewhere I could finally relax and let my hair down.
Mildred rode a bay mare with a placid manner. A couple of dozen water bottles were strung across the saddle horn. Doc's gelding was similarly adorned. The old man looked down at the others, grinning at Jack's worried expression.
Don't worry, my dear boy. We shall be back before you know it.
Not worried.
Then don't look it.
The boy shook his head.
That's Sharon Vare. Keep on.
She keeps on at you, Jack? What about, or maybe I shouldn't ask you that.
Says she likes me, but wishes was taller and cleaner.
Jack stretched himself up to his full 5 feet and nearly 4 inches and tried to brush dust off his pants.
We all do, Jack.
Fuck you, Barrymore.
Doc grinned.
Tell her next time you'll be on stilts and carrying a tennis racket.
As Doc and Mildred heeled their mounts toward the mouth of the steep valley, they disturbed 40 or more buzzards that were gorging themselves on the feast of muti flesh. The dozen bodies, or their ragged remains, lay where they'd dropped, now eyeless and missing all of the delicious soft tissue.
Do you truly wish to trace this other cryocenter, Mildred?
Absolutely. You know what it's like to be stranded out of your own time, Doc. Shit, nobody knows it better. You gotta think now and again how good it would be to talk to someone from your own time.
I swear to you that not an hour of a day passes that I do not think about that.
For some minutes, they rode on in silence. The sun was sinking fast behind a low range of hills to the far west, throwing long blocks of shadow over the desert. Other than the patient circling buzzards, there was no sign of life. From the open jaws of the ravine to the clump of dusty trees around the waterhole was only a quarter mile or so. It was just possible to catch the glint of reflected light from among the trees. Doc, leading, reined in and leaned his arm on his mount's neck, considering the prospect before them.
See anything?
No. Not a single capering Pathan to threaten our lives.
They moved on at a walk, in among the trees. The sun was well down, and the ground between the stunted trunks was impenetrable darkness. They tethered the animals to a wind-blasted live oak and started to unsling the containers. The actual pool was in a natural rock basin, its surface covered in a sheen of dust and dead insects.
Looks good.
At that moment, the Stickies came slobbering out of the shadows.
Guess I spoke too soon.
By the three Kennedys.
There were 5 of the horrors, 4 males, and one that was probably female, though technical details like gender weren't always that easy to determine with Stickies. They were all barefoot, wearing the usual assortment of cast-off rags. One of the men held an old sword with a tassel of maroon ribbon dangling from its hilt. A second, younger mutie had a knife in each long-fingered, suckered hand. The other 2 men had short-hafted axes. The woman held a long-barreled remake musket, the muzzle pointing in the vague direction of Mildred and Doc. The faces of the muties were a fugue to genetic malformation, The forehead sloped sharply backward, giving them something of the look of a homicidal sheep. The ears were residual, like knobs of inflamed gristle jammed on each side of the skull. The hair was long and stringy, matted with grease and dirt. The upper bodies were gemmed.